Welcome back in on this Friday afternoon. Hope you all are safe and heading home, ready to dive into the weekend and a big NFL weekend. Unfortunately, Tennessee Titans not in this weekend, but that's okay. You can still catch all of your football right here on 104.5 The Zone and through Westwood One. And we've got a guy calling a game, a team that we're familiar with here in Nashville. Ross Tucker is joining us now. He'll be calling the Ravens-Bills game on Westwood One right here on 104.5 The Zone. Ross, happy Friday to you. How are you, my friend?
Likewise, Dawn. I'm doing wonderful, and I'm just glad that you finally get to talk with a stunningly handsome stud offensive lineman today.
You are stupid. I promise you, you're stupid.
I knew that was coming. So Brad Hopkins is the co-host today. Brad, you and Ross go way back, right?
Yeah, we go way back.
I got two offensive linemen here just dominating the show today, right?
Well, Dawn, I just got to tell you, okay? I hate Brad, all right? Number one, Brad was ridiculously gifted, an unbelievable player and career, way better than me. And then I see Brad like a couple years. We've been doing radio for a couple years together. I see him at the Super Bowl. I got no idea who this guy is that's talking to me. I'm like, hey, how are you? Yeah, he's like, you don't know who I am. I'm like, I recognize the voice. He's like, it's Brad Hopkins. I mean, the guy looks like Denzel Washington on the movie. So he looks better than Denzel Washington on the movie. I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on, but you're not supposed to be a former offensive lineman looking as good as Brad was. So not a big fan of his. I'm trying to go for like the slimmer former offensive. He's better than me. Every category, he's better than me.
Stop, knock it off.
Is really funny, Ross, because I just brought this up when we started the show today. I said, B-Hop, what is it? Because, you know, he's like, oh, Ross, former offensive lineman. I'm like, he's looking slim and he's looking good and in shape too. Like, what is it about you offensive linemen that you leave the league and you just lose all this weight?
You know what's funny too, Dawn, that you say that? I don't know, Brad, if you can back this up. I've seen a lot of former running backs, DBs, and wide receivers that have put on a bunch of pounds. It's like we switch. You know, like those guys have just like their whole life, they were just naturally like six packs. You know what I mean? Like they're playing football. They're just chiseled. But then once they're out of that structure, it's not like that anymore. Their metabolism is not the same. They're not playing anymore. Whereas for linemen, we just can't wait to try to get the weight off because we've had it for so long, and you know it's terrible for your joints and everything. So it's funny. I feel like the skill guys go the one way and the linemen go the other a lot of times.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a few things that we want to get into, the minutia of obviously football. We want to find out more about this myfrontpagestory.com. We were wondering if this is the kindler, gentler side of Ross Tucker. I want to find out about that. But real quick, Ross, I think that if I can be serious for a second, it's about mortality. It's us big bodies, they're 300 plus, doing what we've done, you know, for a number of years, and us, you know, creating heart issues. And when I found out that that was legit and that people that are my age now are dying because they're not taking care of their bodies once they got done playing, I definitely took advantage of the things that were around me, the resources, and got myself into shape. So moving
on
from
that. You know what's so funny? So, Dawn, you'll appreciate this, okay? I think a lot of your listeners will as well. So I have two little girls, they're 7 and 8, and I don't think we're going to have any more. So when I like am going to eat like candy, or if I'm going to work out for a second time that day, in my head, I think grandkids. Like that's the goal. Like my goal is to still be around and be active for when I have grandkids, and I'm just trying to take a long, long time horizon because it's not easy as like wait until you're 65 and then try to catch up or make up for it. Like I'm trying to do it now. So I'm right there with you, B-Hop.
Yep. That's a great point. Okay. Hit us real quick on this My Front Page story. Valentine's Day is coming up. Guys, you don't want to screw it up. You don't want to, you know, I mean, I'm just warning you. Don't screw it up.
And, they won't screw it up if they just listen to me for the next 20 seconds. Okay.
My buddy
came up with this idea. It's genius. You literally talk to one of their writers for 10 minutes while you're driving to like Chick-fil-A, okay? You tell them how great your wife or fiance or girlfriend is, They write the most unbelievable story, and then it's framed. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's amazing. So, number one, you say to your wife, hey, babe, I want to do something different for you this year, so I had a story written about you. Like, who does that? Who has a story written about somebody? It just sounds awesome, number one. Then number two, when your wife reads it and she reads the line where you say, I just don't tell her enough how much I appreciate everything she does for the family and the kids, she will cry. I'm just telling you, she will cry. I have experience with this. She'll cry, you'll win, myfrontpagestory.com. That's not our motto, but it should be.
Well, there you go. Ross Tucker joining us. You can get him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. All right, let's jump into some of the NFL news before we hit Ravens, Bills, and some of the games this week. And Urban Meyer headed to the Jags. I know you had Brady Quinn on your podcast today, and it was interesting to hear him talk about how this was the right job. And that's what he told Urban Meyer. If you're going to take a job, this is the right one in the NFL. Why ultimately do you think Urban decided to take this one?
Well, he pretty clearly had the coaching bug to do it one more time, because Brady also talked about the fact that Urban Meyer was strongly considering the Texas job, and that, you know, Brady had said to him, if you go to Texas and win the national championship there, you're probably the greatest college football coach ever, right? I mean, to do it three different places, three different conferences, three different parts of the country. But I think he liked the idea of the NFL. It sounded like, you know, college with the name, image, and likeness and stuff, it's kind of becoming more like the pros. So you almost might as well be the pros. And think about it. Jacksonville, real close to where it used to be in Gainesville. They've got oodles of draft picks. They've got the number one pick, which means you'll have Trevor Lawrence on a rookie contract for 5 years. They've got some good young players, Chark and Chenault, Robinson. They've got some good young players, like I said. And you got tons of cap room. And the owner just showed he's crazy patient with Dave Caldwell, the former GM, and Doug Marrone. So I agree with Brady. I think it's a great landing spot for anybody, especially Urban Meyer.
Well, you know what? I think it was the only spot for Urban Meyer, Ross. And the reason why I say that is because the lure of having Trevor Lawrence for, like you said, the next 5 years is the thing I think put him out of barring back into coaching, because he's not jumping to the Jets. He wasn't jumping to Atlanta. You know, those are some other destinations that nobody mentioned him until we knew that Jacksonville was going to be the spot. Now, maybe if Jacksonville were to hold on to that number one spot, if they didn't go on that 2-game winning streak that they had during the season and bump themselves down to 2, then we might be considering that. But I think that Trevor Lawrence might have something to do with bringing Urban Meyer back to coaching.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I thought it was hilarious when he said at the press conference today, well, that'll be a big decision. You know, there's Trevor Lawrence, there's Justin Fields, there's Zach Wilson. Like, come on, bro. Come on, Urban. Yeah. We know what the deal is. Like, we know you're taking Trevor Lawrence. I think it's funny. Like, the NFL, I think, always tells these teams, hey, we want you to create intrigue. We want you to, you know, we don't want it to be, we want there to be some unknown. Because none of these teams will ever just say who they're going to take number one, even though we all know who they're going to do.
So true. Ross Tucker with us. You can catch the podcast. Ross Tucker Football Podcast, if you want to listen there. All right, Baltimore and Buffalo. You are on the call for this game for Westwind One. You can catch it right here on 104.5 The Zone. The Bills just a 3-point favorite in this one, but really, you look at what the Bills did against the Colts. They struggled. They struggled mightily. I mean, if you take out their quarterback play. And the Ravens are just on a roll, and the Titans saw that firsthand and what they were able to do, and really defensively what they were able to do against the Titans. So I know you are extremely familiar with both of these teams. Coming into this one in Buffalo, what is your feeling on how this one goes?
Yeah, I mean, Donna, I think the Ravens are going to win. And it pains me to say, I spent most of my career in Buffalo and have an affinity for them, but last week, Josh Allen became the first quarterback in the NFL ever to throw for over 300 yards, rush for over 50 yards, and complete more than 70% of his passes. And they still should have lost. They still should have. I mean, Frank Reich, I love him, but he made several bad decisions. The Colts dominated the action. Colts should have won the game. So think about that. And I think the Ravens are better than the Colts. And you guys saw that firsthand last week. The Ravens have rushed for more yards than anybody in the NFL since 1950 in the last six games. They gave up 82 yards to the Titans after the first quarter last week. I mean, that's Arthur Smith and Tannehill and Derrick Henry. The Ravens, I think, feel like they're on a mission. I don't understand the spread. I said this on the Even Money betting podcast. I love the Ravens and the points. I think the Ravens are going to win outright. So if you're into that kind of thing, I think you should take the Ravens on the money line.
You know, I'll say this. You know, the Ravens blitz more than anybody else, basically. They blitz 41% of the time, you know, on dropbacks. And Josh Allen has handled that tremendously. As a matter of fact, I think he's thrown like 17 touchdowns against the blitz. But Lamar Jackson, like you just mentioned, he's on a mission, Ross. When he came down here to Tennessee, we all talked about his playoff record and how he needed to get this one. He was held to 40 yards rushing in Buffalo just more than a year ago. I think that's going to be on his mind, too. And having two 100-yard rushers, that might be a little bit too much for that Bills defense to handle.
Yeah, and you know what? Think about how the Chiefs really benefited from that Browns win. Because it would have been the Chiefs having to play the Ravens this week and then probably Buffalo next week. Instead, they get to play a Browns team that they're a 10-point favorite against, which I think is too much. But if they were playing the Ravens this week, I think they'd be, I don't know, 5-point favorites, maybe six. So that's a big difference. It's second year in a row the Chiefs have gotten some breaks in terms of their path to the Super Bowl.
Ross Tucker, our guest here on 3HL. Okay, Baker Mayfield in the AFC, oldest starting quarterback left in the AFC playoffs, right? Not even 26. And then we've got Brady and Breeze, the History Channel matchup here coming this weekend. Who do you take in that game? It's just such a difference, you know, such a difference from a style of play, a longevity, age, all of that. I just want your take on the Brady versus Breeze.
Yeah, I like the Bucs. I don't know. I have no idea what the TB12 method is, but it works. I mean, Brady's throwing the ball better than he ever has. He looks younger than he ever. I mean, he like looks like 10 years younger. I don't know what the TB12 method is, but it works. I like the Bucs to win that game as well.
He's so much more fun now, too. Like, I love his tweet. I love this version of Tom Brady. Am I crazy?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Dawn.
It's because he's warm. That's why he's down there in Florida. Hey, Ross, real quick.
Hey, my 430's calling me, dude. See, I love you
okay.
guys.
All right, Ross, take care.
Ross Tucker.
Yeah, he had a 430 checkout. Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize that. At Ross Tucker NFL. Was our guest here on 3HL. So he'll be on the call for Ravens Bills Westwood One. That's right here on 104.5 The Zone. What were you going to ask him?
I wanted to actually bring it back down and have him land at B&A and give us his thought about the local flavor. I was going to ask him, Tennessee's been in the playoffs consecutive years for the first time in a long time. And, you know, are they in 2021? Let me ask you that. I mean, is this a team that can continue this playoff mantra? I mean, they seem like a team that's got a good nucleus to it, but, you know, with all the coaching changes that we've seen, if Art Smith checks out, if this thing happens and that thing happens, how dramatic would it affect the squad? Are they a playoff contender?
Well, what do they always say? It's about the Jimmies and the Joes, Brad. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes. And guess what? You've got, what, 8 of those starters on the offensive side of the ball coming back? 9? Your entire offensive line, your quarterback in Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown on his rookie deal. You've had and we'll just go ahead and say Arthur Smith is gone. Right. We'll go ahead and play that. The Falcons offering him, no official news on that yet. But Arthur Smith has been offered by the Atlanta Falcons. You lose Arthur Smith. Well, last year you lost LaFleur, or 2 years ago you lost LaFleur. So you know, for the last 2 years you've changed OCs. I mean, and this, if I am a potential OC anywhere, I'm like, can I please get on my knees and beg to have this Tennessee Titans OC job? Really? Because both of those guys are now going on to be head coaches. You have all this talent back. you know exactly what you have and you know what they do well, because I feel like Arthur Smith figured that out and kind of put the blueprint of, hey, this is what we do well, this is what works, and we saw what doesn't work too in their loss to the Ravens. So I would just look at that position. I wouldn't be concerned from a losing coaches. Now, how many assistants do you lose too with Arthur Smith? Who does he take with him? I don't know, because it used to be you couldn't take a whole bunch of coaches with you. Couldn't, you know, deplete the staff, but I don't think that that's a rule anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's about their system, their style of coaching that usually, right, once a guy gets the gig, he's going to assemble the guys that have actually gave him, you know, the most success as a coach. Exactly. You know, but I also think that when you have a Ryan Tannehill, Dawn, you have an advantage of filling that spot. The reason why I say that is because if you're a younger guy that might not be as experienced, let's say you're your first gig in from the college ranks, you have a virtual coach on the field with you. You know, Ryan Tannehill is a seasoned veteran. You know, he's a dude that understands things. And sure, with the direction of good play calling and having a great relationship with his offensive coordinators, he's done a good job of resurrecting his career. But, you know, any new guy that comes in, you don't have to be someone, you know, that understands quarterback you from the very beginning, because you can work with this guy to understand how to better position or best position this team to win.
So if you're the Titans, if you're Mike Vrabel, do you hire from within then? Do you, he has always been big. He is a hardcore loyalty. I want to know you. I want to be familiar with you kind of guy. Look at all of his hires. He has either played for his hires or with his hires or knows them personally or has coached with them. Or, you know, he has some kind of personal, he knows himself what he's getting in each person. So, you know, if you're in charge here, are you looking to hire within from an offensive coordinator standpoint, or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, like you said, Mike knows, you know, those people that are within the building.
Right.
So does the locker room.
Yeah.
Think about that. So those guys, you know, do they have respect for a person that gets elevated to that position? Are they just like, dude, are you serious? They just moved that guy in there for heat. Are you serious? See, they already understand exactly what the dichotomy is in that locker room. And this is somebody that they have a lot of respect, that they may have been just waiting for that moment for him to get this job. Dude, we've been waiting. Okay, here's an example.
Arthur Smith's a perfect example.
Well, I'll go even deeper than
from
that.
Back then?
A guy named Mike Munchak. Mike Munchak, when he retired after 12 years as an Oiler, he became the assistant offensive line coach. Not the offensive line coach, but the assistant offensive line coach. They went through 4 offensive line coaches before they finally hired him as the offensive line coach. When in essence, we were all going to him for instruction anyway. We went from
I was going to say, he's a hell of an offensive line coach.
Right.
Too.
We went from the Rennie Simmonses to the Larry Bechtels to some dudes I can't even remember names from, to finally making the right decision to hire him as the offensive line coach, who would then go on to be the head coach. So it's sometimes, you know, just finding the right guy, it's uber important. And I understand when they're right under your nose, but the locker room knows when that guy needs to have a chance and when he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? When he's deserving of this opportunity to be someone that can actually call the shots. And if he's just like, man, seriously, you stealing checks, bro, and you know it.
It's funny. I feel like the talk around Arthur Smith for a long time was, at least when he was finally named the OC, was, oh yeah, like that dude. I mean, everybody in the locker room respected that work ethic. You remember the story of him sitting outside of Vrabel's office at 4:30 in the morning or something after LaFleur left, just to make sure, because LaFleur said, hey, you need to hire Arthur Smith as your OC. Like, he said, that's my recommendation. And Arthur Smith sat out there and waited until Vrabel showed up at work, was waiting outside of his office door the
with
next
Chris
day.
McCray, yes, right here.
And was like, hey, man, I want the job. I just want to make sure you know. So, like, I feel like the Arthur Smith move into that role was, everybody was great with it. Everybody loved it. Like, that guy, you know, he started in the muck and worked his way up and whatever. I liken him to a journalist that started, you know, way back in Market 200, carrying their own camera and editing and writing their own stuff and doing all that, who's now, you know, big time. That was Arthur Smith. So, like, everybody, I felt when he stepped into that role, everybody was all about it. You know, is there someone else there that has that? I don't know.
Right. That's a good question. And, you know, I was just kidding about the Krispy Kremes. I don't know that he had Krispy Kremes. He's smarty, you know what I'm saying? But either way, it might have tipped the, you know, it might have made his decision right there. He got some hot mouths. I'm ready to go. But, you know, real quick, how about Taylor Heineke for the Washington football team? How supportive were those guys once they left the field in a loss that guy right there, they'd ride out with him anywhere? You know, they'd work with him during the week in practice. They knew exactly what he brought to the table. He got an opportunity to shine, show poise and confidence. And those guys believed in him in that moment and beyond. So that's another example of the locker room being supportive. But I'm sure, Don, that there are tons of examples of guys that they're like, heck no, I don't get that guy a job. He must be kidding. He's a bum.
He's a bum. All right, that wraps up this segment. So Preds opened up their season last night, and they got a nice win. Lindsey Rowley is going to join us in our next segment right here on 3HL. Stick around.
Get everything on the defense.